The sermon that I want to share with you tonight was actually the first one that I prepared for this morning, but I felt the Lord leading me to grace as opposed to what I had originally prepared. So I feel led to do that tonight, and now I know why, with the special on God Bless the USA, because what I want to share with you tonight has to do with the Christian and government. I don't think we think about that a lot. Do we, whether we think about what our role is as a Christian through the process of what our government is, where, what it has been, where it's going. And there's several things that I want to share with you that Paul outlined that really is imperative for us as believers to demonstrate when it comes to government. We've had good governments in the past. That's not to say we won't have good governments in the future, but we got to keep one thing in mind. God is working towards an end. And that end is the final redemption of his people. And you and I may not understand it. Sometimes I find Christians fighting against it. But the best thing you and I can do is support the plan that our God has. And Scripture tells us what that plan is about. As I searched Scripture, I found three different areas that God instituted himself to govern the affairs of man. The first one is in Genesis chapter 2. He created a man and a woman, joined them as husband and wife, and brought them together to be the governing body of the family. That's what he put them. So we know that that's already broken down because of sin. You know, we think we can have anything be the leadership of a family, and God distinctly made it to be a man and a woman together in marriage, to lead, govern, and guide, and protect the family. The second thing we find out, we know, is that in not only Matthew 16, verse 18, but Acts chapter 2, Jesus Christ instituted the church. The church is the governing body of the household of faith. We can see what sin's done to that too. You can't even take those of the same denomination and have them agree on anything. Even major principles and tenets of Scripture and values and principles that God has outlined in His Scripture can't even agree on those things anymore because things have become so liberalized. But there still is a remnant. And we're part of that remnant. The church is the governing body for the household of faith. And that means we need to stay in the principles to which God's word has given us to govern the body by. And yes, that part of that is discipline as well. Discipline is not something used in the body. I've only had to use it once in my over 30 years. But it does work, just like Paul did with the man that was in sin. And he said, you know what, you got to get them out. If you don't, they will permeate and destroy the body of Christ. And that's why we need to be careful. We can't compromise within the church that living together or same-sex marriage and all that kind of stuff, you know, that's all okay just because the world says it's okay. God says it's an abomination before him. We cannot liberalize those things just because the world has. So how important that family unit is that governs children. How important that unit, that institution is of the church to give us strength and guidance and teach us the truths and the tenets of God's word. And the third institution is the government. The government is something that God himself brought into being and is, okay? So how do we respond to government? Well, I've always been somewhat of a, rebel, I guess, when it comes to that, put it any other way. Now, that didn't have anything to do with wanting to serve my country or anything about that. It was an honor. But the government that we have and the government as the direction that it's going is not the same government that was instituted. It's not, you know, they say it's a democratic government. It never was a democratic government. It's a republic government. Republic government is governed by the people and not by politicians. We used to make all those jokes about how horrible lawyers are and how they'll never get to heaven. Well, I'm beginning to think politicians are right there equal with them, you know. And I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, because the majority of them all are all the same. But that doesn't mean you and I are to change for political purposes. They're gearing up already to make plants within churches of pastors who speak out about politics and governments so that they can quiet them, take away their 501c3, and of course we don't have to worry about that because we don't have one, so they can't tell us to do that, but, you know, close our church down by eminent domain, whatever they choose to do. You know, they can do that. But that does not stop the truth of God's word. And you see, my friend, this is so important, and I've never understood this, but I want to understand it, and I want to share with you. No matter what politicians and politics or Republicans and Democrats and independents and the Green Party, Blue Party, Pink Party, don't care what party it is, whatever they say, whoever it is that says it, if it is not godly, I am not for it, and I am not going to support it. It doesn't matter. You know, I wish I could put on my card, I'm a me party. You know, a me party for the he party. That's who I'm for, okay? But my brother, my sister in Christ, listen to me and listen carefully. God is marking down for each and every one of us the kind of stand that we take or don't take. And yes, it is going to cause suffering. And yes, it is going to cause isolation. And yes, it may even cause excommunication from this wonderful place that used to be. But who are we to serve? Who is our God? Our God is the one that brought these things into place. So I want to share with you three very simple things tonight about what Paul writes. And what has helped me to get a little bit of better understanding about this is Paul was writing it to the Roman Christians. And we know what the Roman government was all about. And we know what the Jewish government was all about. Neither one of them wanted a Messiah. Okay? And so they were going to do everything they could to stomp it out. But Paul gives us some insight on how we're to behave. Okay? So in Romans 13, if you have your Bibles, turn with me, and I want to read just the first 7 verses of Romans 13. It says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of that of the authority? Do you want to do what is good? And you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, this may sound a little confusing on how far do we go? What do we do? Well, I'm going to end this sermon by telling you there is one example in which we do not obey the government. And I'm going to share that with you at the end. But first of all, there are three things that he gives us that we need to understand about the governments and why they're there. Number one, God places in authority the government that is ruling. You and I don't, okay? We like to think we do. We like to think we have the power to vote in the best man. Well, we've seen that buckle many times. So authority is God's authority. And God puts in good governments, and then he puts in bad governments at time when the people get out of control. The people no longer respect and honor him who has taken care of them. So understand something. When we rebel against the government, good or bad, we're rebelling against God, because there is no government. Roman government, it was placed in by God. It was put in by his authority. So was the Grecian Empire. So was the Babylonian Empire. So was the Assyrian Empire. So was the Israel Empire. You know? And governments, when we think about that, we need to honor God through our actions within the government. And no, I don't always agree. And what I don't agree with, I won't agree with. Just because the government tells me I need to do certain things. Now, understand something. He kind of ends this up by saying, pay your taxes. He didn't say they were going to be fair. He didn't say they were going to be equal. He just said it's the right thing to do, is to pay our taxes. Look at let's go to God's people. They were just about as unfair, those tax collectors, as they could possibly be, because they collected what the Romans wanted, and then they could collect anything after that. That's why they're so hated and despised. So God's people weren't even fair to each other. But he didn't say, now to get this, he didn't say pay it if it's fair. Remember this morning's sermon? Those that said, you know what? Hey, I worked all day for a denarius. They came at the last hour for a denarius. That is not fair. Well, that's not up to you and I. That's up to the Lord God himself. And whatever it is, understand that we will be blessed by being in obedience. And so we need to understand, good, bad, or indifferent, governments, all of them are in place by God's authority. And for you and I want us to be encouraged by the fact and the truth that God is working to the end for his plan that he's got coming. Okay? I'll tell you what we need to be concerned about is I was looking at a prophecy flashpoint for today, and it's kind of gone under the wire now, but Turkey's insurgence into Syria. That's what we need to be watching out for, because Turkey wants to take all of the refugees that came out of Syria and put them back in there and have what they're calling a buffer zone, a place of entrance for them to conquer Syria. You see, we're all just a peripheral part of the big plan. The plan that's taking place is in the Middle East. It's not in the Midwest. And it's not with Western nations. We're all going to fall suit to whatever happens over there. Who's to say that this nation will not be absorbed by some other nation, some other country, or destroyed altogether? Who knows? There is no clear-cut prophecy concerning America. Some have tried to make it. Some have tried to say, you know, we are part of the lost tribe of Israel. Come on. That's about as nonsensical. I'm no more Jewish than you are, okay? There is nobody Jewish out there, is there, by the way? Okay, I better clarify that. And so they're claiming special privilege because of the lost tribe of Israel. And that came through the Worldwide Church of God, Herbert Armstrongism. So, you know, special privilege. America doesn't have special privilege. No nation does except Israel. And that's because they are God's chosen people. But still, I live in America. I don't live in Israel. And so I am held accountable to how I am as a believer and how I am as a Christian here in the United States of America. And so are you. I pray that we pray for our nation. We need to stand for the truth, because there's still truth within our nation. And the more we don't pray and the more we don't stand, the more the enemy takes and devours those whom he can. And he's going to continue to do that. So I was born here. I love this place. I serve because I love this country. And you know, many today, when we talk about serving veterans today, they don't get enough recognition. Because I'm here to tell you, I was during the Vietnam era. And politics were harsh against us then. They're nothing to what they are today. Everything, every ploy is political. And men and women are serving, giving their lives, risking their life every day. While back home, they've got a husband or a wife and children just praying and hoping they come home. I can't help it when I watch these videos of soldiers that surprise their kids and stuff at different things. I cry like a baby. I can't help it. It just, oh man, how excited it is to see that child, see their mom or their dad. Oh, it just blesses my heart. They're still serving our nation, and we need to lift them up, because I know why I went in, and that was to serve my country and to stand for something that is right, even though the politicians were playing tiptoeing through the tulips with the enemy. Okay? But I knew my heart was right. And I know that those that went in one and two and Korea and Vietnam and every skirmish and action after that, men and women went in to serve because they felt they were doing the right thing. I don't know. It breaks my heart today to see that so many young people are enticed by bonuses and monetary advancement by coming in. And then once a war starts, they don't want to fight. Once a war starts, they want out and they want to get gone. You see, if you don't do it from the heart, you have no heart to do it. You know? So when we think about that, understand our government is originated by God. Paul says that. The second thing in verses 3 and 4 is the government is instituted at the beginning for the good purposes of the people. That's why we were unique in our foundation, because it was about the people. It wasn't about the stronghold of the government. And you see, words change over the years. And that word, which meant one thing back in the early 1900s, middle 1900s, has changed by 2020. It's not the same meaning. And they're playing these ploys and these word games with us. But the government, The government today is not concerned with its people. It's concerned with its own personal power. I can say that because I can see that. Again, you can point on both sides of the aisle. It's about personal power. Listen to their rhetoric, pointing fingers and blaming the blame game. They sound like four-year-olds. That's what they sound like. The government is to be for the good of the people. That's what Paul writes. And if we feel the sword of the government, it is when we do evil. But now, it's just like the Bible said, that there comes a time when that which is good is bad and that which is bad seems good. People that are murdered brutally, families that are killed brutally, give it a couple years, they can appeal enough to where the person who committed the murder becomes the victim. We can't leave them in jail all that time. It's cruel to take them to the gallows or take them to the electric chair or to gas them or infuse them or do whatever. I'll tell you what, you can think what you want, and I don't care what you think of me, but our prisons would be emptied if it was me in control. Because if it was proven that they were guilty of murder, the Bible says they give their life for the life they took. Yes, I'm a capital punishment person. That's the way you deter them. What's the deterrence today? There is none. State after state taking away the one true hard-handed ability to be able to detour that. If you thought for a moment that, well, if I take this person's life and they catch me, I'm going to be dead. I can tell you that would detour some of those murderers out there and would calm down some that just allow themselves to go into fits of rage. But you see, the government is to protect the people. If someone does evil, they are to pay the price and recompense for that evil that they do. Paul says it right here. Now, he is talking strictly from a Christian perspective. You understand that. Because the Roman government was the last thing that would really represent this. And even the Israel government was the last thing that represented this. And many governments before and after have not represented this. The hard hand of the government is to keep the people under control. That's what our nation is trying to do today. Whether we like it or not, that's what they're trying to do. So, we as a Christian, we need to understand God put the government in position that's there. And in time, unfortunately, because of sin, good things get corrupted. Amen? We've seen that in personal lives. Good people have been corrupted because of sin. Well, governments are corrupted because of the internal workings of sin. And let's call it what it is. It's sin. The third thing that I want us to see that Paul says, that our responsibility in verses 5 through 7 is simply to obey. We're to obey. Paul didn't say, if you like it, obey it. And if you don't like it, then disobey it. And he used taxes as the forceps of that. Okay? I mean, it's still just as much of a thorn in people's sides today as it always has been. I mean, our country was founded partially on that very truth, the taxation. You know, all this taxation without any representation caused the American War. I can't even think of it. I'm brain dead for the moment. But the Revolutionary War, thank you, Miss Sue. I knew it would come around eventually. But all of these things, you know, but Paul says we need to obey the government. Why is that? Why would Paul want to obey an evil government? Because, let me tell you, England's government was evil. They were evil. I mean, Mary, the Queen of England, when she got into power, she killed everything that called themselves a Christian. Murdered them. Every one of them. This country was something to be able to supply England with all of the wonderful resources that we have and to take from its people. Why would Paul say something like this? I'll tell you what I think and what I believe. Paul tells us to obey the government because it is the testimony of the life of a believer to obey the Lord God. That's why we do that. That's why we do that. So, the question is, when do we not obey? When do we resist the government? Well, I want to share with you an example out of Acts chapter 4, verses 18 and through 20. And this is after the Jewish Sanhedrin had caught the disciples preaching Jesus. They are now commanding the disciples to not speak that name. Beginning with verse 18, he says, "So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus." And I want to stop there. Isn't that what it's coming to in our country? Isn't that what we're hearing? It is. You can speak anything you want. You can believe in any religion you want, except when it comes to Christianity. Because the name of Christ stirs up an indignation in the hearts of evil people. That's why. But, I love that word "but." That's telling you, well, let me tell you something. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So, when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. There is one reason we stand up against all peoples and governments is when we are commanded and told by the Lord Jesus to go out with the gospel and tell lost people how to be saved. Missionaries are dying across this world in worldwide fashion that are preaching. Maybe you and I will never suffer in that way. I don't know. But as the hard-handed press of the government comes down, there is going to be less and less tolerance for Christians. We need to be ready, and we need to be prepared, and we need to have the attitude that Peter and John said, "You judge for yourself." God has told us we're to do this. Do we obey man or do we obey God? I've always loved that. God needs to be our choice. And we can be refreshed. We can be encouraged. And we can be in prayer. And the Holy Spirit will give us the strength, the enthusiasm, and the excitement to spread His gospel. Because it is the real only truth that this world has left, is that message. So if we're going to resist the government, let's resist it in the way that we are commanded to by the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Not by insurrection, not by unhappiness, not just, what's that? Protesting, because we don't like the way things are. Our nation has never been more divided. And we can't blame it on one or the other. We can't. We should probably take more of the brunt of that responsibility than anybody else, because we have been sitting idly in our churches, doing our own things, comfortable where we are, instead of getting out there and trying to win lost people to Jesus Christ. Amen. If we'd been doing that for the last 40 years, I believe with all my heart this nation wouldn't be where it is. I believe that. And I'm just as guilty as the next person. So what we do now is going to be tougher than it would have been 40, 50 years ago. But let us be prepared. Amen. So the government, God started it. The government, it's supposed to be for the good of the people. The government, obey it. Until they tell you you can't preach the gospel. His name is higher than any other name on the face of the earth. Amen. Amen.